You're listening to Bell and Sperling.
With him, Martin Bell.
And him, Johnny Sperling. Mm.
Listen, let's face it. Boris has won.
You think so?
He's the next Prime Minister. Of course. Who's going to catch him? Unless he does anything absolutely, you know, catastrophic.
Well, that's what we're waiting for, aren't we?
Are we?
I think we are. It's. I mean, Matt Hancock has now pulled out.
Well, he would do. I mean,
he was not in the running. I mean,
no. But do you know what, though? Marvellous in the blood donor he was. I loved it, the blood donor.
Yeah, was that?
My favourite was the radio ham. Oh, sorry, that was Tony Hancock.
Tony Hancock. I knew he was coming in with it. I really do think there was no point in some of these boys taking, even Esther McVeigh. But what we did say yesterday is that they scored points. Okay, so that if Bojo does become Prime Minister, he will look at them and think, right, I'll have them in the cabinet.
Right.
If some of them, he'll lock away in the cabinet.
Well, that's well, that's why Hancock's pulled out, isn't he?
Yeah.
He wants his place in the cabinet.
Well, you know what happens now is this, okay? So Bojo's in the running, Michael Gove's in the running, and Jeremy Hunt is in the running.
Yeah.
Now, they will be behind the scenes trying to get the votes,
yeah,
trying to nick the votes. The people that voted for Matt Hancock... Bojo would be trying to do a deal, going,
right,
Matt, do me a favour, so, right?
Yeah.
Go and get your little mob who voted for you.
Yeah.
Right? Get them to vote for me in the next round.
That's it. I'll stick you in the cabinet.
I'll put you in the cabinet.
That's it.
Right? You'd be head of drinks.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's the way it's worked. They're all in the chambers. They're all like, you know, through the Houses of Commons. They're all have a little side meeting round the back door. Listen, make sure you vote for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a pony in your pocket.
Look after you. All
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Love to mum.
Buy yourself an ice cream. It's true.
It is, isn't it? See, I've had a haircut.
You've had a haircut?
I've had a nice haircut. Oh, it was lovely.
Do you want to get in the cabinet?
Have I got time to just tell you this little story?
Go on then, quick.
I'll tell you this little story. Now, my barber, Lou the barber.
Yeah.
Lou the barber's now, he's cut my hair since I was 3 years old. He cut my hair and I had all loads of curls on it. And I saw the curls on the floor, apparently.
Yeah.
And went, put them back on, put them back on. So I've known him that long.
Yeah.
Big friend of my dad's. My dad did his accounts.
Okay.
All the years my dad was alive.
Yeah.
Now, my dad died in 2007.
Right.
It was a horrible death. He died on a motor neurone.
Yep.
And Lou, of course, cut his hair right up to the end.
Okay.
And knew about it. So I still go to Lou.
Yeah.
I still go there.
Yeah. Even though he's rubbish, you feel that you should go there.
I know he's good. That's it, but
no,
anyway.
One part of your hair looks good.
So I go to Lou. I went in there yesterday afternoon. Hallelujah. And he was, I think he's...
Hallelujah. It's hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. And he's from Cyprus.
Right.
Hello, John. He says, hello. Mm. Sit down. So I sit down. Get the old thing on. Snip, snip, snip.
Yeah.
So how's your mum? Yeah, this is the same conversation. It's a script.
It's a script. Yeah.
Every couple of months, it's the same.
But they say it, the same script to everybody.
No. This is the same script for me.
Okay.
But it's the same script. So how's your mum? Mm. My mum's 86.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's fine. Yeah. Still miss your dad.
Mm.
Pardon? Still miss your dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, she always talked to me. Yes, a lovely man, your dad.
Yeah.
Went too soon. So, is she still missing the old bungalow where she used to live?
Yeah, yes.
Bad memories there.
Yeah.
Your dad was ill there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He died. Yeah, that's right, though.
That's right, yeah.
Do you know the fella that just was in here is a district nurse?
Yeah.
Oh, was he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Your dad had a district nurse, didn't he? Pardon? Your daddy had a district nurse towards the end. Yes, yeah, he did, Lou. Yeah.
Start crying.
It's terrible. Yeah, it's too soon. He went too soon. Your poor mum. Your poor mum.
By the end of it.
I'm he takes Luna. Yeah. It looks lovely. So I get up now. Every time I go there, I go to the end and I go, so how much throw you, Lou? Mm. And at first it was £12, nothing changes. So always the same.
Yeah.
Cheers, Lou. Next time I get them there, what were you, Lou?
Yeah.
£13, nothing changes. Always the same.
Yeah.
Cheers, Lou. Next time, it's £14, nothing changes.
What was it yesterday?
£16.
£16.
It started off at 12.
Nothing changes.
Nothing changes, always the same.
Yeah.
Lou the barber, but I do love him.
Yeah.
And he does listen, so Lou, I'm only kidding, but please try and line it up a little bit, Lou, for me. Because this.
Don't mention the bad times. Oh. You know, look in the mirror. Is that okay at the back? That's the way I face, Lou. I don't look at the back. That's the way I face.
Yeah, always. He shows me the back. He made me stand. I stood there for 2 minutes, admiring his work.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, they do that though, don't they?
Yeah.
They show you the back, and you go, I don't care about the back. I can't see it. Yeah. That's the way I face. I face that way.
That's it. Right. Yeah, I don't care about the back.
See this bit of the front, Lou.
That's what I want.
That's what people look at.
Yeah.
They don't look at the back. They don't go around the back and go, yeah. What's going on there? It's true, isn't it? Right, UNICEF, John. UNICEF
yes,
game.
Yes,
now,
yes.
Piers Morgan is captain of the foreign team.
Why is he? He's British, isn't he? He's English.
Yeah, of course he is.
But was he? It's the thing, isn't it?
He had to be captain.
Him and
Harry.
Susanna Reid.
Well, no, okay. So Piers and he's got Harry Redknapp as an assistant. Okay.
What, on the world?
For the world.
Yeah.
The world 11. And we've got Susanna Reid and Sam Allardyce.
Sam Allardyce, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I did see a little piece.
I saw it this morning.
I did see it. And Sam said, I'll tell you what, he's getting right on my nerves, Piers Morgan. And if he winds me up anymore,
yeah,
I'm going to punch him in the face.
He did say that, yeah.
I'll punch him straight in the face. I'll knock him out.
Yeah.
And I actually
And you wouldn't want to punch off a Sam Allardyce, would you?
No, he's got big hands.
Big hands.
Big hands.
Yeah.
So, look, what I wanted to talk about in a minute, in fact, is the pecking order. Of who gets picked. Obviously, Robbie Williams is the co-founder of this, along with Jonathan Wilkes.
Two of my favourite people.
Two of your favourites.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, wait a minute. You did get on with Jonathan Wilkes well. We used to play at the Soccer Six. You got on well with him.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Robbie, you don't like.
I met him. He came to the opening of our comedy club.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
He did.
It was nice.
It was great, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was nice, but you just don't like him as an entertainer, do you?
No, not keen. Okay. So we're going to talk about this
The reason why I want to say about it is, you know, there's a hierarchy of fame, and it's who gets invited, and it's whether you're in the Robbie camp.
Yeah.
If you're in his good books, you get invited.
Yeah, I'm sure, you
know?
Yeah.
And there's some people that are pretty good footballers out there. I know the likes of Ralph Little, people like that. And they're probably out of favour, if you like. Love Sport. Reason why we're talking about food was because that KFC are going to release a vegan burger on Monday. And you think it's a pointless exercise, John, because basically they're known for selling chicken, right? Okay.
They're a chicken. They slaughter millions of them. Millions and millions and millions and millions
all right,
and millions.
All right, but yeah, I like eating chickens.
Right? So do I, but I'm not a hypocrite.
Okay, so the vegans, how can they? What you're saying is, how can the vegan go into KFC?
Go have a KFC anything?
Okay,
well, it's completely against what the KFC exists because they kill chickens.
Okay, right. On Monday, we are getting a KFC vegan burger. And we're going to film it live on the Bell and Sperling show.
Yeah.
And we're going to see how fast you can eat it.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure it's very, very nice.
And do you know what? It does look nice. I've seen a picture of it.
It does.
So it's a lump of corn.
Yeah.
Okay. They've replaced it with corn. And they've even got a vegan mayonnaise.
Yeah, right? Well, of course. Yeah, you can't use anything dairy, can you?
Okay. So vegan mayonnaise and corn. Ooh. It could taste rubbery, right?
Why don't they just open up a vegan shop, which they do?
Yeah.
Vegan this or vegan that. Why have these... I don't understand.
How about KFV?
That's
Kentucky
good.
Vegan. You like it? I'm starting it.
Yeah, but it's still KF something, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's KFV.
I mean, Colonel Saunders...
Ooh, by the way, do you remember the KLF?
I do.
Remember them?
Well, I can't remember what songs they did.
The
now.
KLF.
They were good, weren't they?
They were good. But they're the ones who done a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
They burnt £1 million.
That's right.
They set fire to £1 million worth of sterling of their royalties.
Yes, they did.
It's the awful, terrible thing. I bet they were vegans.
I bet they were, yeah.
Listen, when we come back, we are still asking you on the Bell and Sperling show today, 0208 702558. Want to get the votes, okay? What's your favourite? Sunday roast, fish and chips, or a full English breakfast?
I think out of all of it, I'm still going with fish and...
Save it, all right? Give us a vote. Tell us, just put your name down. Give us a vote. Fish and chips, Sunday roast, or full English breakfast. Listen, We're going to be talking about the women's football. The women's football's getting really exciting.
Yeah,
I loved it when we beat Scotland.
Yes.
You know, it was fantastic. Yeah. We're joined now by Harriet Drudge, football journalist and social media manager for Man United Women. Morning, Harriet.
Good morning.
How are you, Harriet?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yes, very good, thank you. Are you enjoying this World Cup?
I'm absolutely loving it. Yeah. I mean, it's been kind of built up as the biggest World Cup yet, and I think it's not disappointing. We've had some incredible matches. Some controversy thrown in too, which is always kind of par for the course. But it's been brilliant, and I can't wait for the rest of the
tournament. Give us some of the controversy, Harriet. What has been the controversy?
Well, most of it's kind of been surrounding VAR.
VAR, that's been controversial in the men's as well, hasn't it? So,
yeah, absolutely. And I think there's still a lot of kinks to work out with VAR and its use and when to use it, when not to use it, and when to trust the referee and the officials on the pitch.
Are you a fan of it, Harriet, or do you wish it would go back to the old days? It was never a pen. Yes, it was. No, it wasn't. Well, you could argue in the pub over it, you know.
Well, the thing is, just we still find ourselves arguing about it, even though VAR has been introduced.
Yeah, that's true.
So, that's been one of the biggest things for it. You know, it's brought in to eradicate some of these. It was brought in to eradicate clear and obvious errors, which, you know, would be great if it was just doing that. But it seems to be causing more confusion at the moment. Mm. I'm all for it, and I think video technology in other sports like cricket, it's been brilliant. Yeah. As we've seen this morning, England has just had a review in the cricket that's gone their way, and that's the right decision.
In fact, just while you're on that, we're 68-3 now, England v West Indies. Fantastic. It's going well. What about this game tonight against Argentina? Argentina are not much cop, are they?
Well, apparently they're nothing like the Argentina, the men's Argentina. Is that right, Harriet?
Yeah, we can't really compare. Well, across the board, we shouldn't really be comparing men's and women's football.
No, absolutely not. You're
especially
quite
the
right.
Reputation. But, you know, Argentina have had a difficult road to this World Cup, and for them to get their first point against Japan the other day was a real achievement. You saw how they celebrated at the end of the game. 3 years ago, they pretty much didn't have a women's team. They'd failed to qualify for the 2015 Women's World Cup, and then were, you know, their funding was removed by the Argentinian Football Association. So for them to be here now is quite an achievement, having had no coach, no fixtures and no FIFA ranking just 3 years ago.
Yeah.
There'll be a difficult team to break down tonight, I think, because obviously they'll go in with a game plan to stop England doing what they do best.
Right.
So it's going to be a different kind of test for England tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned there, actually, you quite corrected me, quite rightly so, that I was comparing it to the men's. It's something that we've all got to really quite get used to, because it's still quite new for us, you know, the fact that women's football is now becoming so prominent, you know. And we've got to remember that the women's football and men's football is a completely different game. I mean, I find that watching it, what me and Belle have often said, that the skill involved in women's football, you know, it's because it's a little bit of a slower pace. You see more skill, don't you?
Yeah, that's always the point that I've made when I've been talking to, you know, friends and family about women's football, is that the men's game is played at such a pace now. You know, men have been training professionally for a long time. You know, and had kind of more support around infrastructure and training, nutrition, strength and conditioning. But when you watch the women's game, it's slowly getting there. It's progressing in those areas as well. But when you take it back and you watch, technically, and the vision that the players have as well, because they're not running, you know, and they're not playing at such a speed, they can see different things materialising on the pitch.
I think they keep the ball better, if I'm honest.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look up. I think game management is, you know, is big on their agenda as well, you know, because they do have more time on the ball.
What do you think about some of these comments? I was listening this morning, on Stoney's show, but a few other shows as well, about sort of, there was a few people sort of saying, you know, I think it was probably after the USA drubbing of, was it Thailand, was it 13-0, that maybe they should make the goal slightly smaller for women's football. What do you think about that?
There's a column in the Times today by Emma Hayes, Chelsea manager, who's saying just that. But it's, you know, when you look at the facts, the average height of females is, you know, we're shorter than men. Mm-hmm. And the pictures,
most of them are taller,
you know,
than us two, by the way. We're not the tallest in the world.
No, taller than us. Yeah.
When you look at average height, and especially of goalkeepers, you know, a few inches shorter than the average male goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And, you know, pictures have been made for men for all eternity. You know, and we have to have a look at this seriously and think, you know, if we want the game to improve and to develop, then we need to be looking at this kind of thing seriously and making sure that it's suitable for female athletes at the top of their game.
So yeah. you do think it, they would accept that? I mean, for instance, in women's cricket, the boundaries are closer. So it is something you think that they may look at?
Yeah, I think potentially. I mean, I don't think it would necessitate wholesale change, and I don't think anyone would want that particularly. I don't think England would look at it and say, no, well, we want this, this and this. But there are a few, I mean, hurdles, if you look at that, then, yeah, you know, they're, in women's hurdles, they're considerably shorter than men's, but it doesn't take away from the spectacle of the sport. So, you know, I think there's a conversation to be had, but I think that's a long way off at the moment.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Tell me, Harriet, I'm sorry, Belle, was you a player?
I am a player, yeah.
Oh, you are a player?
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
No, because obviously you're manager for Man United Women, and but you do play, yeah.
I do play. I play for South London Women at the moment. So, yeah, I've been there for a season now and can't wait to get playing again with them.
Oh, brilliant. You know, what position do you play in?
I'm a centre forward.
Oh, yes, she is. She's a centre forward.
What about, just tell us about, obviously you do the social media for Man United Women as well. What's the Man United team like? Are they any better than the men's?
it's again difficult to compare. So I kind of do a few different jobs for Man United Women. I've been the match reporter. I've managed social media on occasions as well. And to be honest, it's been an absolute joy to be a part of the Man United women's football journey from the very beginning. They came together as 21 strangers, and within, you know, days of meeting each other, they had this real steely determination that they were going to do well, win the league. They were talking about that before they'd even kicked a ball together. And that, I think that's really testament to the way that Casey Stoney handpicked the players that she brought in. And, you know, she had a clean slate to bring in, and I think that she really made sure that she got the right characters in.
Good
mix of youth and experience thrown in there. So you've got Alex Greenwood, who's obviously out in France now.
New
signings this season though. So Abby McManus has just signed. So it'd be a different kind of look next season in WSL. But an interesting challenge. I think they'll do well because they played WSL teams in the Continental League Cup throughout last season and did well. Had a good record, so it's been brilliant.
You just don't want Phil Jones playing there, do you?
Nah, you don't want Phil Jones there. No, especially taking penalties. Just before you go, with the supporters of women's football, is it kind of mixed, or do you get generally more women supporters?
I think at the moment it's more female supporters in grounds and attending matches, but I think especially because a lot of women's football teams at grassroots level go to women's football if they can. But I think the more coverage that we're getting and also the way that people are talking to men in the game who like men's football, talking to them about, you know, would you want your daughter to be able to play?
Yes.
Do you want your family? If you take away...
Harriet, we've got to go to a break, and it's fascinating stuff.
We
can talk about it because it's building so quickly. Listen, thanks for your time, Harriet Judge there.
Thanks, Harriet.
This is Love Sport.
The England squad for the UNICEF game on Sunday at Stamford Bridge is Robbie Williams. You don't like Robbie. Not a lover.
No.
Not a bad footballer, by the way.
Not bad.
Very old-style footballer, is he? Sort of tucks his arms back. Like old Charlie Charles.
Yeah, I'll try not to watch him. We've got John Terry, former Chelsea captain, our old mate.
Yeah.
Mo Farah,
our old mate.
Our old mate, Mo Farah. Would never be in your restaurant.
Would never. You'd never catch him. Because he had a bit of a tiff a few months ago with Gabriel Selassie.
Yeah, he did a runner, didn't he?
He did a runner from not paying for the hotel bill.
And you're not going to catch him. He says, well, I'm off. Okay, fair enough. I'll take that. You know, I'll have to wipe my face with that one.
Yeah.
Mo's gone. He's in the next district.
Yeah. So Mo turns up at your hotel.
Yeah.
Stays there for 3 months.
Yeah.
And walks out without paying the bill.
Walks out. Runs out.
Runs out.
Runs out.
Who's going to catch him?
No one. You're going to catch him. Mo, come back. He's gone.
Jamie Redknapp.
Yeah.
Is in the England team. Still passes the ball nicely. Still too good looking though, isn't he?
Bit of a good looking fella, isn't he?
Gets on your nose, doesn't he?
Yeah. Mind you, she left him, didn't she? Old Louise.
She left him. Yeah.
Harry Redknapp's on Piers Morgan this Saturday.
Yeah,
And he talks about it in quite
yes
detail.
He didn't know. They didn't know it was
no. She left, didn't she? Quite conveniently after doing Strictly.
Well, this is what happened to me. So that's why you're never going
to
do
Kiss
Strictly.
To Death. You'll never do that. Yeah. No.
You do the ice skating?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
David Seaman. You're in the right old state.
Yeah.
Former Arsenal England goalkeeper and cat lover.
Okay. Yes, we had him on talking about cats.
We
on
did.
Our show
him and his lovely wife.
And also Mark Wright, our old mate. I actually had to turn up 3 weeks ago to present an award, and Johnny Sperling here could not turn up. So luckily, Mark Wright took his place, and me and Mark Wright went on and presented the award. And everybody,
Mark Wright was went on as me.
He went on as you. And I said, Johnny Sperling's not here today, but he's been in the gym and he's done quite well. He's lost a bit of weight and here he is. And Mark Wright walked on.
Yeah.
So that was quite nice. Listen, we're going to talk a little bit about the the Bojo.
The Bojo, the Tory leadership race.
I mean, it looks like Bojo has got it, but you never know. Right, okay.
He's got to do something catastrophic, I told you.
Yeah, something
something really, really bad.
We're joined now by John Stevens, Deputy Political Editor of the Daily Mail.
Afternoon, John.
How are you?
Hi, afternoon.
Is this a dead cert, John, that Bojo's got it?
Well, I mean, at the moment, it's looking like it. I mean, MPs voted yesterday for the first time on who their favourite candidates were, and Boris Johnson's way above anyone else, more than double the votes that anyone else did. But we've still got 4 or 5 more weeks until the winner is picked, and we all know what Boris Johnson's like. You know, he does have quite a kind of reputation for gaffes, and so at the moment, it looks like no one else is going to be able to beat him, but obviously there's still quite a bit of time when a lot could happen.
Yeah. I mean, Matt Hancock has pulled out this morning. Now, just tell me about this. Am I right? I said this earlier on our show. Mm. Does Boris Johnson's sidekick start running around all the people that voted for Matt Hancock and trying to, you know, get him to pile into it? Do you know what I mean? Does that go on behind the scenes? Like, you know, Matt, if you get your voters to vote for me, I shall give you a job in the cabinet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think definitely. And as soon as yesterday, obviously we saw 3 candidates knocked out, Mark Harper, Andrew Leadsom and Esther McVeigh. And talking last night, some of the MPs had been backing to them. As yesterday afternoon, their phones were buzzing with the different campaigns ringing them, with people like Boris Johnson ringing them personally and saying, oh, come on now, do you want to kind of consider working for me? So, yeah, there's a lot of that going on behind the scenes. And Matt Hancock this morning, when he's come out and put out his statement saying that he was withdrawing from the race, he said that he's going to talk to all the candidates. You know that yesterday afternoon he held a meeting with Sajid Javid. Sajid Javid was trying to persuade him to come in with him on his campaign. We don't know what kind of job he might have offered him, but at the moment it looks like Matt Hancock is not going to do that. He's going to be talking to all the other candidates. I think we'll see over the weekend people like Andrea Leadsom will come out and make her decision. Is she going to back Boris Johnson? Is she going to back Sajid Javid? Or is she going to back Dominic Raab? And then I think the expectation is that she would try to encourage her followers to kind of come along with her.
I thought that the front runners alongside Bojo was Jeremy Hunt and Michael Gove. Now, if Sajid Javid, let's say he was number fourth or fifth, once he's out of the running, who would Sajid Javid go alongside?
I'm not sure. I guess I think probably Jeremy Hunt out those. Jeremy Hunt or Michael Gove would be the ones I'd say he was
really
closest to. But yeah, you know, Boris Johnson's obviously way ahead. But in the next week, the real battle now is who's going to get that second spot.
Yeah.
Because MPs will pick the 2 candidates who go to the members and the membership have those choice of 2. So it seems quite clear Boris will have one of those slots, but it's who is going to get that second one. Mm. And that's harder to tell when you see these different camps kind of merging and going in together. Obviously, Jeremy Hunt's got more MP backers than any other candidates at the moment. But if you kind of merge together Sajid Javid with Gove and now Matt Hancock, then he might be able to beat him. And, you know, Sajid Javid does seem to have a bit of momentum at the moment.
It is a worry, though, isn't it? Boris Johnson's got 114 votes. Nearest rival is Hunt with only 43. Mm. But you could end up that the others pull out and sort of pile on Hunt, and it sort of pushes Boris Johnson out of the way.
Well, I mean, I think Boris Johnson is going to get on the ballot whatever now. And I think at the start of the contest, we thought that MPs might try and do all they could to keep them off, not giving members the kind of option of Boris Johnson. I think at the moment, it seems quite clear he will end up getting on the ballot paper. I don't think there's any chance that even if all the others ganged up together, you know, I just can't see them be able to knock him off the ballot. It's who's on the ballot with him is the kind of undecided thing.
Yeah, well, what I know that the we're just sort of waiting for something to go wrong with Boris Johnson. He's sort of ducked quite a few punches, hasn't he, so far? Mm. And obviously you're a journalist, so you know what's going behind the scenes. But I suppose for the Daily Mail, you're on sort of his side. I would say.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. You know, I think they've been purposely keeping Boris Johnson away from kind of these high risk. Interviews and appearances because they know that is, you know, he's way out in front. The others are needing to do all these things to now get the attention to keep boosting their campaign, whereas Boris Johnson's holding on to this lead. And I'm really scared that, it doesn't take much for a campaign to completely go off kilter. And we know that Boris Johnson does have a controversial history. You know, when he did pop up this week for his launch, you know, all the questions from the journalists were quite difficult questions, and some of them he was quite evasive on. But obviously he will have to do stuff in the next few weeks. He won't be able to get through the whole campaign without doing proper media appearances, and the big pressure on him now is he going to take part in the TV debates? We've got the first TV debate coming up on Sunday on Channel 4, and then there's another BBC one next week on Tuesday. I think from speaking to Boris's people yesterday, they weren't planning to do the Channel 4 one, but I think they might do the BBC one.
So who's going to do the Channel 4 one?
I'm not sure who the presenter is, but I think all of the other candidates have signed up to it.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. Would so it they're be... now using that to put pressure on Boris.
Would it,
we'll
be in a bad,
it.
Would it put him in a bad light, do you think, if he doesn't do it?
I think if he can get away with not doing the Channel 4 one on Sunday. I think the BBC one next week is harder. You know, if you say, well, I'm not doing that one on Sunday, but I will do the one on Tuesday to get some of the pressure off.
BBC one's more important than it, really, I suppose.
I think so, and the more people are going to be watching that, you know, it's kind of mainstream TV, so, yeah.
Well, just the fact is, do you think that we've sort of said about Boris... Boris looks like the natural leader, doesn't he? He is a character. Whether people sort of, you know, listen, he rugby tackled a small child. He was strung up in a harness, bouncing around from just about to do a bungee jump. But at the end of the day, I think we've had quite a few guests on that said, look, you know, when he turns up, I've done it myself. I went to do something, ended up having a photo with him because he is a bit of a. Is a character. He's like a Donald Trump character. Whereas I don't see that with Michael Gove and Jeremy Hunt. He's not a figurehead, is he?
We've already had the most boring prime minister you could possibly have in the world. So, you know, anyone apart from her is going to be a breath of fresh air, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he's got that star power. I know from like covering them as journalists, when you go home and I talk to my family and different friends, you know, you can tell who the politicians that they want to talk about and say, oh, you went on this trip with Boris Johnson, what it's like. You know, you get loads of questions of people like Boris, people like Nigel Farage, people always interested in what he actually like in person. But very rarely I go home and people say, oh, you did an event with Jeremy Hunt.
Jeremy Hunt is
really
so boring. It's true, isn't it? It's totally true. We just mentioned Farage. Obviously, his popularity has gone through the roof just recently with the European elections. How do you see that panning out? What do you? What's the relationship a little bit like going forward? I'm just thinking, if there was a general election, and what's the relationship like between Boris Johnson and Nigel Farage? How far apart are they?
Well, obviously quite similar characters, and on Brexit, you know, they've both been on the side, on the same side. I think if Boris Johnson took over Prime Minister, he would be hoping just to get a lot of those people who voted the Brexit Party back onto the Tory side without having to do any sort of deal with Nigel Farage. And I think they would be quite hopeful that it would be after, like after the 2014 European Parliament elections, when Farage did really well with UKIP, and then obviously when the general election came three years later, we'd had the Brexit vote by then, and the Tories just managed to hoover up all those UKIP votes again. And so I think Boris Johnson would be quite hopeful if he took over as Tory leader, that he would just be able to get all those people back without actually having to kind of get Nigel Farage on side as some sort of cabinet minister or anything like that. Yeah. I think I don't see it's very likely that we'll see a deal between those two sides.
Right. Okay.
John, we have to go to a break now, but before you go, John, fish and chips, Sunday roast, full English breakfast.
What's your favourite?
Fish and chips, definitely.
Oh, yeah, it's fish and chips.
John's down for
John's going for fish and chips. Okay. John, thank you ever so much. It's fascinating.
This is Love Sport.
Bit of entertainment news now. Yeah. We are joined by Faye Cleary, entertainment and showbiz news specialist.
We haven't had you before, have we, Faye?
You've not, no, it's the first time.
If you pardon the not had you before expression.
Yes. Faye, just tell us...
I'll brush over that one.
Yes, of course.
Just tell us about Love Island right now. Johnny Sperling hates it.
I don't like it, Faye.
I've only missed a couple of nights. I missed the night where Sharif got kicked out. What exactly happened?
Well, you didn't miss much because no one knows. Ah. We still have no idea why he's been kicked out. Love Island seemed to be holding back and... Yeah, no one seems to know. So there are lots of rumours going around online, but again, nothing can be confirmed. The only rumour, there was a bit of a fight between Sharif and Anton.
Yeah.
But Love Island have confirmed that that completely is fake news. So that's not the case. And we don't know. He just all of a sudden wasn't in any of the scenes. Well, a statement was released.
I did hear, Faye, that after the incident, he was tossed out of the show, wasn't he? He was pulled off the show.
Yeah. I think that's probably an accurate way to describe it.
Very good. Very good. There's another one that I've just got. Why did you do that? It's so annoying. The two girls that came in last night, or was it the night before, wasn't it?
The night before, yeah. And Elma. So these are interesting, these ones. So Maura's come in all guns blazing. So she's very, very confident. She's beautiful. She's a beautiful, beautiful woman.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, a lot of talk about her mouth. Everyone thinks she's got a bit of a potty mouth. So that'll be interesting. Well, she's really stirring stuff up already.
She set the cat amongst the pigeons. Strangely enough, Johnny Sperling's not going to know this, but the other girl, Elma.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw her, I said, I messaged down to my daughter and my wife, and I went, that girl's got to be from Essex. And then apparently she's a barmaid in a pub that me and you have sung in, John.
I'm sure she is.
I realised that I knew her, and I thought, actually, I know that girl, yeah. But she seems quite a nice girl, doesn't she?
Yeah, and she's not really offending anyone. So she's gone for the guys that are single, mostly, Anton being one of them. And, yeah, I don't know whether it's a comparison, because Maura's gone in such a kind of fury, so to speak, that everyone's attention is on her. So Elma's kind of, seems quite nice and innocent in comparison. We'll see how that one goes.
Let me tell you something. Yesterday on the train, because I get the Romford train, so of course that's the heart of Essex, Faye. Yeah. And I was on the Romford fast train, and I'll tell you something. A girl was sitting opposite me, She looked so Essex that it was hurting her. She had the lips. She had everything done. You know, she looked like, I'll tell you, when they have their face done, I don't understand it.
She'd been to Chernobyl.
They just look like they're part of the same family, all of them.
They do, yeah, yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's incredible. You go on Instagram and girls just all look the same at the minute.
Why do they think it looks good? Yeah. It is horrible.
I don't know. Well, do you know what? Most
anyway, there we are. Let's talk about Sugar Aid Face, shall we?
So this is your kind of interest, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Probably not so much mine, but what I can tell you is about the training. So the training happened yesterday.
Yeah.
My colleague went along to that, got all the gossip, mm-hmm. and spoke to a few people. What was interesting about the training, he was telling me that they all had these like heart monitors attached to them, so to get some data about what they've been up to at training, who's the fastest. So, Usain Bolt, you'd think, right, he's got to be the fastest.
Of course.
He's the world's fastest man.
Yeah.
Nope.
No?
Danny Jones from McFly.
Do you know what, Faye? I've played against Danny.
Have you?
Yeah, I've played against Danny. And I've played with Mark Wright and played against Mark Wright every week. And Danny Jones is a really good player. He's only a little fella, and he's tough as well.
Mm. Yeah. I interviewed him earlier this week, actually, and he was saying that in 2008, it's still like one of the top moments in his whole entire life. Like, forget having a baby, getting married.
Yeah.
When he passed the ball to Alan Shearer, and he scored, he was like, yep, still top moment.
Is Danny the one that did all those blogs, isn't he, that when his wife was pregnant? Is that the same one?
No, I think you're thinking of Tom Fletcher. That's what I've done, actually.
Tom, the other one, yeah, with the glasses.
I'm thinking of the other one. They did like those blogs, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Danny's brilliant, and he loves it. He loves football. And you were saying about Mark Wright as well. So he apparently is injured at the training, so they didn't have him on.
Pulled hamstring, isn't he?
But they reckon it's a bit of a tactic. So they think they're going to pull him on Sunday.
He's a good player, Mark.
He's a good player, Mark. Me and Mark presented an award three or four weeks ago.
He stood in for me, didn't he?
He stood in for Johnny. So Mark come on stage and me and we present the award. And if I was playing against Mark, right, and some of my mates are listening to this show today, and we've played with Mark and against Mark many, many times over quite a period of years. If anyone is marking Mark, all you got to do, right, just if you can put this out there, Faye, is stand on his left foot.
Really?
Because he will only ever shift the ball to his left side. He never cuts it in the right. Stand on his left foot and he won't get anywhere.
There we are.
There
you
go.
That's a good tactic. Like
I know. And do you know what? I'm not a tackler, but I used to do it to Mark and think that's the only way, because he's got a great left foot as well, by the way. He's not a rubbish player. He's a good player. And he's a bit too good looking.
Just quickly, Faye, what we got to look forward to over the weekend, TV-wise, apart from the UNICEF match?
Yeah, well, that's on Sunday, 6:30. Yeah. And then I think Killing Eve's back on TV as well. So if you're following the new season of that, that's back on.
What was that?
Killing Eve.
Oh, Killing Eve's back, is it? Right.
Yes. Okay. By the way, it's come back and I watched the first one the other night. And I absolutely love Killing Eve, but I've only watched the first episode. I know you can flick through the BBC iPlayer and watch the whole lot. But yeah. I didn't really take to the first episode, I've got to
interesting.
Admit.
Interesting. Yeah, so a lot of people are saying that, and they think it's down to the lack of Phoebe Waller-Bridge. They don't know if you know about Phoebe. So she was the writer of the first season, and she also is the woman behind Fleabag,
yes.
now on the new Bond movie. So
that's
she
right.
apparently has not written this second season, and a lot of people think that's why.
There we are, you see.
The Phoebe flair.
That's really weird.
So maybe that's why I didn't enjoy it.
I felt it. I just thought...
There we are.
It's not as twisted.
Well, right instead... It's
all in the writing.
It's all in the writing.
That's what you're going to say.
Listen, Faye, before you go, got to ask you something.
Right.
First of all, how old... is there a kid in the background I can hear?
There is.
Yeah, there you go.
how old is she?
It's a little boy. He's just over a year old.
Oh, wow. Great times
multitasking on
yes,
Friday.
Yes, of course you are, yeah. Now, listen, Faye, Sunday roast, fish and chips, right. or a full English breakfast?
Sunday roast, every
day. Oh, you're the first for Sunday roast.
Faye's gone for
the
Sunday.
Am I? The first one to say that? No.
You are, honestly, yeah.
Sunday
yeah.
roast.
Not fish and chips.
It's got to be cooked by my mum only. Like, go to pub, not the same.
You see, you're absolutely right.
And Faye, what meat?
Lamb.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Controversial nowadays. Okay. But I do
I know. I'm not very vegan, I'm afraid.
No. Oh, there's a new vegan burger, by the way, at the KFC.
That's coming out Monday.
How about that?
Faye, listen, have a wonderful weekend. Faye Cleary there, entertainment news and showbiz news.
Thank you, Faye.
Bit of lamb. Love Sport. There's this mad situation.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say this. Hopefully he's not listening at the moment. But Donnie Trump yesterday tweeted that it was fantastic, you know, meeting the Prince of Wales.
Yeah.
And he spelt it W-H-A-L-E-S.
Surely not.
He did.
He didn't do it on purpose.
No, it doesn't matter, John. Okay? That's how he done it.
You know, it's half the reason I just endeared him to me.
Yeah. I see. So, look, let's have a think. We've got Donnie Trump spelling the Prince of Wales, W-H-A-L-E-S. And we've got Boris Johnson rugby tackling small children and hanging from a harness. I mean, what's happened to the world? But listen, we're very, very fortunate enough to be joined.
We've got him again, haven't we?
By Donnie.
Very lucky.
Right now. How are you, Donnie?
Hello, Don.
I'm very well, guys. Very, very well. How are you both? Bell and Sperling, the greatest guys on Love Sport. I love these guys so good.
Yeah, but Donnie, I mean, how about spelling the Prince of Wales, W-H-A-L-E-S? I mean, you do realise that, you know, that's a whale.
Listen, I was going to spell it the other way, but the twins swear by it. Okay? They swear by it, okay?
Of course they do, yeah.
I was watching a David Attenborough documentary.
Yeah, David Attenborough.
Attenborough.
That's what I said. David Attenborough.
Right. Okay.
David Attenborough documentary about the whales. Yeah. And that's why I spelled it wrong. That's what happened.
Well, strangely enough, it's very... I'm glad that you've just mentioned that, Donnie, because we've got Davey Attenborough. Or Attenborough.
Davey boy.
Davey's on the line now. Davey, how do you feel about that?
I am very privileged to know that the President of the United States is watching my documentaries. And on the left, we see the shark.
I wonder...
Yeah. Who's on the right, Dave?
Davey, have you spotted Donnie's haircut? Do you know what that is living on his head?
Yeah.
I believe it's a very discreet creature called the Trumpirius opius. And it has a very distinct smell, Martin. Very distinct indeed. It smells very much like shredded wheat.
Is it? It looks a bit like shredded wheat,
actually. It's very similar to Boris Johnson's hair. And luckily enough, we've got Boris Johnson on the line. I know he's not been doing interviews of late.
No.
But we're very fortunate enough to have Bojo on the line now.
Yeah.
Bojo, how are you?
Very good afternoon to you both very much. I'm just off. This got to be quick because I need to go and rugby tackle another child. That's what I need to go do. So.
How's it all going? I mean, it's all looking really good for you, Bojo. You know, you slaughtered them, haven't you, really? Slaughtered them.
Well, absolutely. I believe that perhaps they should all just drop out now. And I'm looking forward to having Boris's den number 10 and perhaps having maybe Jacob Rees-Mogg as living next door. And maybe we might knock through and have a bigger living area. I think I might do that.
Have a knock through, like my Auntie June did.
Yeah, Auntie June did. Donnie's still on the line. Donnie, how do you think you'll get on with Bojo if he gets the job?
Yeah.
I think Boris is a great guy. He's a very good friend of mine. Him and Nigel, very good friends. Very, very good friends of mine. And me and Boris know each other for a long time because we go to the same hairdresser. So we know. We chat a lot in the chairs when we have the hot towels. That's what we do.
Is it going to be a better relationship than you had with Theresa May?
I didn't like Theresa May. I always felt cold around her. She's like a scary ghost lady. I don't like her. I don't like her. She's weak. I like my coffee like I like Theresa May. Weak.
Dave, is Dave still with us? Davey Attenborough. Dave, what's your sort of view on this whole leadership run? How do you think it's going to... There's obviously Jeremy Hunt and Michael Gove. What would happen if Michael Gove got in?
Yeah.
The thing is, Martin and Johnny, that in this world there is an entire plethora of strange and interesting creatures, and it just so happens that from the small and frail to the tall and colossal are all running for leader of the country.
Just one final thing, David. If Boris Johnson was an animal, what would he be?
I think he would be a baboon.
Well, I know that Rory Stewart the other day in his promotion in the circus tent, yeah, he referenced the elephant in the room and then tried to make a nice little gag about maybe it's not the somebody who's running for the Tory leadership. I just wondered if you thought of him as that animal.
Yeah.
Well, Rory Stewart resembles a dropped lasagna. I don't believe that man could be anything at all that I've seen or witnessed.
Yeah,
agreed.
And Boris, what is your answer to the fact that that David Attenborough thinks, you know, he's likened you to a baboon?
I do believe that David Attenborough is a national treasure. And I would like to offer him to let bygones be bygones, and we'll play a bit of a whiff-waff table tennis. I think that'd be fantastic. We'll play a bit of whiff-waff.
And lastly, to all of you, first of all, to you, Donny, we're doing a Bell and Sperling food run today.
Yeah.
And we're saying, which is your favourite English classic British food?
Yeah, Donald first.
Would it be fish and chips, full English breakfast, or a Sunday roast?
That's a very difficult question to answer. Can I just get rid of them all and have fried chicken? Can I do that? Can I do that?
Yeah.
I'll go for fish and chips. That's the closest to fried chicken.
Donnie says fish and chips.
Fish and
chips.
Yeah. And Bojo?
It's going to have to be the roast dinner, of course.
Yeah. Sunday roast for Boris, obviously. David, your preference?
I believe that I would go for the Sunday roast.
Wonderful.
Sunday roast is winning.
Very English.
Fellas, all of you, thank you so much.
Round of applause for the film.
Wonderful. Just Donald Trump.
It was like it was like the male version of Atomic Kitten back together.
It was, wasn't it?
It's incredible. Just yeah. But without Kerry.
Yeah.
Nobody wants Kerry.
Well, you're not looking so bad now, you know.
Is she looking all right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that since she went to Iceland? The trouble is with her is one minute she does a dieting thing and then a nice video.
Yeah.
And we go, of course, she looks fantastic. And then the following year she blows up again.
Yes.
She's huge.
Yes.
And you go, look at the state of her.
Yeah.
And the reason why she does it is because she can lose weight again.
Yes.
And do another dance video.
And another book.
Do you know what? Why don't we write a song for Atomic Kitten?
I think we should. What should it be called?
Don't put me on the spot.
Love Sport.
You've been listening to Bell and Sperling. We will sign out. Thank you very much.